Welcome back to the Shir in Lekutei Siches. We will be learning in today's Shir, the second Sicha for Parshas Temoir in Volume 17. It is the Sicha on Erashi. I will first give an introduction to the general idea, then we'll look at the Psukim, and thereafter we'll look at the Rashi and then the Rebbe's Sicha on the Rashi. We have a general principle which is expressed in the Mishnah in the first chapter of Masechta Kiddush. There, the Mishnah has several sections relating to classifications of mitzvahs, which mitzvahs relate to men, to women. And then the Mishnah talks about which mitzvahs apply all over the world and which mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah teaches all land-dependent mitzvahs, mitzvahs which relate to the soil, whether to the land itself or to the produce of the land itself, for example, Shemitah, the mitzvah of leaving the land fallow, unworked, unfarmed during the seventh year, that applies only in Eretz Yisrael, not outside. Likewise, mitzvahs relating to crops, like the mitzvah of giving truma a portion to the kohen, or meister, a tithe, or challah, applies by biblical law only in Eretz Yisrael. But those mitzvahs which are not land dependent, those apply all over the world because they have nothing to do with the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. That's the principle given by the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned an exception, orlo, not to eat of the first 3 years' growth of a tree, the fruit that grows in the first 3 years. That's an exception by halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, not to graft different kinds of trees together to produce hybrid plants or fruits. That too applies all over. And then comes our topic, Chodosh. The idea of Chodosh is that the first grains that grow are not to be eaten. Suppose the crop ripens Purim time. In Eretz Yisrael, it all works out very well. The crops ripen. The first crop ripens right around Pesach time. So we're not allowed to eat from that new crop until the Omer offering, which is the flour made from the grain of that new crop, it is offered on the second day of Pesach, which in Eretz Yisrael, where all Yomim Tovim are one day, it is offered on Chol HaMoed, the first day of Chol HaMoed, what would be for us the second day of Yom Tov, but it's offered in Eretz Yisrael, where it is no longer Yom Tov, it's Chol HaMoed. So that's a special offering of the first grains of the year. Until that time, no one is allowed to eat of his own new grain. So the chodosh, the new grain, is forbidden. So it's a two-part mitzvah. Number one, to offer the omer, grain offering, in the Beis Hamikdash of the new crop. Number two, the negative, not to eat of the new crop until the time when the Omer is offered. When there's no Beis Hamikdash, the day Ad Yoim Habiachem, the day when the Omer had been offered, that day is what permits the consumption of the new grains or products made from the new grain. That's the mitzvah of Chodosh and the first offering of the grains, the Omer. So now, when the Torah talks about this mitzvah, it says that we should not eat lechem, bread, v'koli, v'karmel, or different kinds of toasted products of grain. We shouldn't eat any of those products from the new crop until the day that we bring the Omer, that first offering of grain in the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Pasuk finishes in Perek Chof Gimel 23, Pasuk Yudalet 14 to 23:14. The Pasuk finishes that this is the Chukas Olam Ledoros Teichem, an eternal statute for all your generations, B'chol Moishvos Teichem, in all your dwellings. So it's in all your dwellings. So it seems to imply that wherever we live, whether inside or outside Eretz Yisrael, this mitzvah applies not to eat of the new crop until the time when the Omer was offered. Now Rashi comments on this pasuk. What do the words mean, wherever you dwell? The sages of Israel argue about this. To digress for a moment, in that Mishnah which I quoted to you a few minutes ago, there's that rule that whatever applies to land is commanded only in the land Eretz Yisrael. The exceptions are Orlo, as I said, and Kilayim, the first fruits, the first 3 years, and Kilayim, grafting different plants together, hybrids. Rabbi Eliezer in that Mishnah says, Afa Chodosh. Chodosh too, that the prohibition of not eating the new crop until the Omer is offered, until the day that when the Omer is offered, applies outside Eretz Yisrael too, and he gets it from this pasuk. So that's what Rashi is referring to, that the Chachme Yisrael, the sages of Israel, the Tanoim, argue about this. Yei shalom domikan, some of them derive from these words. Bechol moishvos teichem, in all your dwelling places, they derive shachodosh noyeg bechutzalorets, that the prohibition of eating the new grain applies even outside Eretz Yisrael, because it says bechol moishvos teichem, wherever you live. Yesho imrim, others say no. What is Bechol Moishvos Teichem teaching us? Not where the mitzvah applies. It applies only in Eretz Yisrael, like all land-dependent mitzvahs. But what it teaches us is that until we settled the land, meaning it took 7 years till Eden coming into Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yehoshua. It took them 7 years to conquer the land. It then took a further 7 years to divide the land, to apportion it to the different tribes, so each one would recognize which part of the land is his. That took a further 7 years, a total of 14 years after they entered the land, that there's not no mitzvah yet of refraining from the chodesh, from the new crop. That's what the postik means, b'chol moish v'isterchem, where you are dwelling, where you have your habitation clearly demarcated. Until then, there's no mitzvah of chodesh. As Rashi finishes off, it teaches us, according to this second opinion, Shaloi nistabu al ha-chodesh, they were not commanded to refrain from eating the new crop. Elo la'achar yerusha v'yeshiva mishakopshu v'cholku, until after they had conquered the land and divided it, settled it, only then were they required to keep this mitzvah of chodesh. Says the Rebbe, why does Rashi have to comment at all? Means simply wherever you live. And in fact, in other places where it talks about other mitzvahs and it says the same word, b'chol moish v'yisteichem, wherever you live, Rashi doesn't comment at all. So why does he find it necessary to comment here? That's understood, said the Rebbe. And Rashi already said earlier concerning the prohibition of eating blood, where it says, b'chol moish v'yisteichem, Rashi said, why b'chol moish v'yisteichem, wherever you live? Because it's a personal obligation. It's not land-based. Therefore, it applies everywhere. So, when it comes to chodosh, since it's not an obligation on the person, but it's about the land, it's land-dependent. Furthermore, it would seem from the pshat of the posuk that it's tied in with the mitzvah of bringing the oimer, the first grain offering, and that first grain offering is brought only, as it says explicitly in the posuk, when you harvest the grain of the land of Eretz Yisrael, then you will bring from that grain the first offering, the Oimer. And it seems from the pshat that the prohibition of Chodosh and the mitzvah of the Oimer are tied together, so it would follow that the prohibition of Chodosh also applies only in Eretz Yisrael, like the mitzvah of the Oimer, which is brought only from Eretz Yisrael. That's why Rashi finds it necessary to comment, what is the b'chol moish v'yisteichem when it comes to Chodesh? It's not a land, it's not a personal obligation, it's a land-based obligation. Therefore, Rashi finds it necessary to comment that despite the fact that it's land-based, yet there is a difference of opinion about the meaning of b'chol moish v'yisteichem. According to some chachomim, it means simply wherever you live. And this mitzvah is actually an exception to the rule that land-based mitzvahs only apply only in Eretz Yisrael. This is an exception. It applies even outside Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Rashi finds it necessary to comment at all. But the Rebbe asks on Rashi, and before I mention the Rebbe's question, there's a general rule that the Rebbe gives about learning Rashi, that when Rashi offers more than one understanding, interpretation of words of a pasuk, then they are in order of priority. So the simplest, the closest to the pshat, the simple meaning of the pasuk, is given first. There might be a difficulty with that understanding, that interpretation. Therefore, Rashi offers another interpretation, which solves that difficulty, although it is further from the pshat. That's the usual sequence. The first in order is closest to pshat. What if the two interpretations are equal? How does Rashi make sure that you don't think that priority is given to the first one that he writes? After all, he can't write two interpretations simultaneously. So how does he make it clear that the one is not preferable to the other? So in that case, Rashi will introduce the two interpretations by saying, there are two interpretations, or our Chachomim have given two explanations, or some such phrase. Like over here, Nechleku Bechachme Yisrael. The sages of Israel have disputed the meaning of Bechol Moshe's Teich. So we know that they're both equal in Rashi's eyes. They're both as close to the pshat, the simple meaning of the pasuk, both of them equally. But that's very strange, says the Rebbe, because Bechol Moshe's Teich means simply wherever you live. So surely the first interpretation, that Chodosh applies even outside Eretz Yisrael, is much closer to the simple meaning of the pasuk than the second interpretation, which tells us that the mitzvah of Chodesh only began after 14 years of conquest and settling. Surely the first one is closer. So why does Rashi introduce both interpretations with the word they? These sages disagreed as though they both had equal weight? So the Rebbe explains. There's another mitzvah in our parsha which forbids a person to castrate an animal. And Rashi says that although the pasuk says over there, uva'artzachem lo yistasu, do not practice this castration in your land, it doesn't mean that the prohibition applies only in the land in Eretz Yisrael. No. Why not? Says Rashi, since it's not a land-dependent mitzvah, it applies everywhere. What about the words, ba'artzachem, do not practice this in your land, that come to teach us that anything that's on the land, any kind of animal, may not be castrated. So we see that the rule that land-based mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael, but non-land-based mitzvahs apply everywhere, that rule trumps the words which the pasuk says, ba'artachem, in your land. So, therefore, when it comes to our mitzvah of Chodosh, which is a land-based mitzvah, the other part of the rule should apply, that wherever you have a land-based mitzvah, it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Rashi says that there is another interpretation of Bechol Moshe's Teichem, wherever you live, which is not like the usual rule, and that is that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael, but it begins to apply only after they had conquered and settled it. But this explanation that it begins only after the 14 years is not so smooth in the language of the pasuk. So Rashi brings the opinion of the Chachomim that in fact, Bechol Moshe's Teichem also means wherever you live, and the mitzvah of Chodesh applies all over the world. So now we see that either way that we learn the word B'chol Moed Shvuos Teichem, it is an anomaly, it's an oddity. Either the words B'chol Moed Shvuos Teichem do not mean what they usually mean. Usually they mean all over the world. But in this case, they mean not only in Eretz Yisrael. One to mean B'chol Moed Shvuos Teichem, once you've settled. So either the definition of the word is an unusual one, or the mitzvah is an unusual one. It doesn't follow the usual rule that land-based mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael. So either way, it's an oddity. Either the mitzvah is unusual, or the interpretation of the words is unusual. So they're both of equal weight, says Rashi, and therefore he introduces the two interpretations with the word Nechleku Boyechachme Yisrael. The sages of Israel have argued about this. Now, what does it mean, the sages of Israel? It's an unusual expression. So the Rebbe explained like this. The two interpretations are each one's preference. The stage's preference for one interpretation or the other is not based on the words B'chol Moed Shvuos Teichem themselves. Because either way, as I said, it'll come out unusual. Rather, the Chachmei Yisrael that have been interpreted as those who are expert on the subject of Yisrael, of the Jewish people, the sages who understand the psychology, let's call it, of the Jewish people, based on their respective understanding of how Yidden work in their head, that determines how they understood the B'chol Moed Shvuos Teichem in our pasuk. What does that mean? Tell the Rebbe. Every time one brought a korban, and in our case, the korban is the omer, the grain offering. But generally, every time a person brought a korban, the offering was meant to be accompanied by some kind of a feeling. For example, if a person brought a sin offering to atone for a sin, a korban chatos, a korban oshon, brought for sins, it had to be accompanied with a sense of repentance and regret for the sin that one committed. If one brought a korban toida, thanksgiving offering, for some miraculous event in his life, that he was spared from some terrible mishap, so the offering should be accompanied with a feeling of thanksgiving. Now that's about private offerings. What about public offerings? So they too should be accompanied on the part of every yid with a specific feeling which matches the korban. So for example, when the omer was brought, it's accompanied with a thanks to Hashem for the success of that year's crop. So this is in fact the idea of not eating from the new crop chodosh, so that a person will recognize that the crop came from Hashem's blessing, and therefore he offers first, the first offering of that crop is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and then subsequently a person can enjoy it for himself. Now, what if one lives outside of Eretz Yisrael and he has no opportunity to bring the korban omer from his grain? In other words, if a farmer lived in Eretz Yisrael, So sure, the oymer was brought from one farm, not from every farm. But every farm in Eretz Yisrael is a candidate for having its grain being brought as the korban oymer. But if a person lived outside Eretz Yisrael, then he doesn't even have the opportunity for the korban oymer to be brought from his grain. Now, the mitzvah of not eating the chodesh, the new crop, because we want that the first grain should be brought for Hashem, how does a person experience that if he lives outside Eretz Yisrael? So we have two approaches to the psychology. We want to feel the lack of the oymer, to feel that he wants and desires that he should have a Beis HaMikdash and he should be able to bring the Korban Oymer on everybody's behalf. But how? What's going to lead him to that desire more? So one opinion says that if he refrains from eating from the new crop outside Eretz Yisrael, that will remind him of the mitzvah of the oymer of the first grain, and it will call to mind the idea that it's Hashem who grants him his crop, and he will acknowledge Hashem's mastery. So that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is on the contrary. If he's allowed to eat from the new crop outside Eretz Yisrael, why? Because he cannot bring the Korban Oymer from his grain. His grain is not qualified, it's not up to standard to bring the Korban Oymer. It doesn't come from a holy soil of Eretz Yisrael. It comes from an ordinary farm outside Eretz Yisrael. That will bring to mind, in the mind of the farmer or whoever is eating the grain, that, oi, we're really in a bad way. I'm not even in the running for this grain to be part of the mitzvah of the oymer. So he will desire, because therefore miss the korban oymer, and he'll miss Eretz Yisrael. He'll want to go back and have the mitzvah of the oymer as it ought to be. So this will evoke within him a greater desire than if he actually refrained from eating the chodosh. Refraining from eating the chodosh calls to mind the korban, but not refraining because he's not even in the running for this grain to be brought as a korban calls to mind the lack of having Eretz Yisrael and therefore the mitzvah of the oymer. So this is the psychology behind the two opinions as to whether the mitzvah of Chodesh applies or doesn't apply outside Eretz Yisrael. What does it depend on how we understand the psyche of a Yid? What motivates him? That's Chachma Yisrael, not just Nechleku Rabbeisteinu, our sages deferred, as Rashi often says. Over here, the difference is not because of the interpretation of the words, but because the difference of opinion, how a Yid responds, that expression, Chachme Yisrael. Now, said the Rebbe, having concluded the explanation according to Pshat, now let's go a level deeper. We learned before that when Rashi brings two Pirushim, which are of equal weight in Rashi's eyes, he prefaces it by saying the matter is the subject of an argument, a dispute between different stages, or there are several opinions about what these words mean, etc., in order to teach us that we shouldn't give any attention to the order in which he lists them. He lists them in this order simply because he can't write everything at the same time. So we shouldn't pay attention to the order in which he gives them. That, according to the method of Pshat. But Rashi also contains deeper levels. So on that deeper level, we could say that there is some preference to the first interpretation which Rashi brings over the second, not in the Pshat, but in the Yeinishal Torah, in the premiest, in the inner meaning. What's the difference between the two interpretations below the surface and the deeper meaning? The first way, which is the first interpretation, which forbids Chodosh all over the world, that relates to a person's body and his nefesh, abahamis, his natural animal soul. By depriving a person of eating the new grain, that talks to his body and to his natural self, I'm not eating it because I'm saving the first grain for the time when the oimer is brought. That recalls to mind the oimer. The second way of remembering the oimer in Eretz Yisrael, which is the second interpretation, is one that relates to a person's godly soul. The distress over not being able to bring the oimer because one is in outside Eretz Yisrael, therefore one cannot fulfill the mitzvah and he becomes more desirous of it, that talks to a person's godly soul which wants to perform the mitzvah. So now we understand the order of the interpretations. When a person starts with Avodas Hashem, first he starts by addressing what is relevant to his body and his natural self. Then he can progress to those feelings and those ideas which pertain to his godly self. Furthermore, these two different interpretations are not only about the status of the mitzvah of Chodesh outside Eretz Yisrael, but they even apply to the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. Because according to the interpretation that the mitzvah of Chodesh began only after the 14 years that he even conquered and settled Eretz Yisrael, holds that the main point of the mitzvah being Bechol Moshe Feisteichem, wherever you live, is not on account of the mitzvah of the Oimer, but the prohibition of Chodosh. That's the main part of the two-part mitzvah. And therefore, the mitzvah began only immediately when they came into Eretz Yisrael, even before they settled it, before they were acclimatized in an atmosphere of Kedusha, the neshamas are not yet habituated in the mitzvah, but right away the prohibition which talks to the body and the nefesh habahamis, the animal soul, kicks in immediately. But according to the second interpretation, the main point of the mitzvah is the oimer, and the oimer is that which relates to the godly soul. So when can that begin? Only when a person is well anchored and well habituated into a life of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it began only after the 14 years of conquest and settling.